All right, we're going to get this party started. Y'all ready? Buenos dias, hermana. ¿Cómo está? Oh, gracias. Dios le bendiga. That's about all I know. Yeah, that get me far. But I did learn something. Said I learned something down there. I said, mucho gusto. That's a good one right there, too. I don't know what it means, but it sounds good. Gusto. Yes, yeah, pleasure, right?
My pleasure.
My pleasure. Yep. Gloria a Dios. I learned that last time. That's the only one I can remember. Nah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Gloria a Dios. Gloria a Dios. Jesus Cristo. Mi amor. Spirit of Santos. Hallelujah. He said he'll give you some of them. I think that's apostolic. All right. Welcome back. Bienvenidos. Hallelujah. See, I'm rolling with it now. It says from your belly. Hey. All right, I'm going to break out this here board. I just don't have the IT. I don't know. I could. But I don't have the technology. Hey, Brother John, good to see you. Hallelujah. This is my boy right there, my brother.
Big Bad John.
Oh, he's a bad man. He is. He's a gentle giant. Gentle being. Let's get that going. All right, let's get this thing started. All right, so if it's not been announced, or I guess it has been, but it's sort of where we're going to go with this month of March, since it's kind of running together. Kelly's doing the starter classes now for the inner healing on Wednesday night, so it's a more intimate thing, and so the Lord kind of impressed on me to kind of release some of that, of the benefits or the need of working on our inner self, and what kind of changes us and what kind of develops us. One thing that I do know, that it says in the Word, that said we are born into sin and we're shaped by iniquities. That's our natural being. No matter what it is, we're born into that. That's why all people must be born again. We got to be renewed. We got to be born of the seed of Christ, which is holiness. It's holy. So I like to say, hey, I was born in sin, and I was shaped with a lot of iniquities, and I'm telling you, I'm still shaped by some. But it does not define me anymore. Okay? Because of an encounter I had with Jesus Christ. And I said, yes, sir. May I have another? But then now it's sort of like I'm born in holiness. And now I'm being shaped by righteousness. So I become the righteousness of God. Right? That we may become. That's what he said. He became sin that we may become the righteousness of God. Now, where does it begin? Are we completely righteous when we get born again? If we're individuals, no. But collectively in Christ, it's complete work. He's already did it. It's in Him. Now, do we represent Him like we should all the time? Probably not. We're going to have days. We're going to have moments in time. So that's what we want to try to apprehend. We want to apprehend those moments, and we want to take them and put those in the obedience of Christ. Yes, sir, Brother Lila.
Just this thing about like righteousness, that if you think of us as body, soul, and spirit,
mm-hmm. The spirit.
Spirit.
Yep.
But then that, if you look at that distinction to say, you know, my character, my emotions, my habits, the will, all that is ground that the Lord's going to be working on and tilling up and transforming till the day we die. We never quite completely get there. But
no, the Word kind of says that when we see Him, we'll be as He is. When perfection comes, then the tongues will still be stilled, you know, and the prophecies will cease. It'll be completely united and complete when it's done, in the sweet by and by, you know. But the prayer was what? Let your kingdom come and your will be done. I like King James on this one because it says in earth. And if we want to look over in Corinthians, it said that we are what? Earthen vessels. So I like to see, hey, what are we? In us. Let His kingdom come and His will be done in us, in all of us. So that's what's going to come forth. So the title, kind of how it rolls, is why do I? There's some questions there. Why do I? Why do I do the things that I do? Why do I act the way I act? Why do I have these little offenses or these little things that get me going in the wrong direction? Why do I lash out sometimes?
A quick example, because I wanted to mention that to you. I was almost going to text it to you. I watched Walk the Line, story of Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Just an example of, do I need internet? Okay, so it's like his dad was totally like, you're nothing. What do you think? And everything he did, he was so down and down and down. And like, that'll set you up for a whole bunch of mess if you don't get it. You don't get it straightened out and understand it. So that was just a real quick example, but that's pretty cool that you're going to do this.
So that's where, yeah, I mean, why'd old Johnny do the things he did? Something happened to old Johnny there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Something happened to all of us. Even before the womb, something happened before us and to us. Because it's a generational thing. See, it says over in the garden that what happened with Adam and Eve. So we had Cain and Abel. Things happened there. But then it come back to what? They knew each other again and begot another son, Seth, born of whose image? Now, see, he wasn't born of the image of God. He was born of the image of man, of Adam. So, therefore, here's our generation, born of the first Adam. So, our conquest or destiny now that we want to strive to is be what? We should be, we don't even know that, but when we become born again, our desires change. It should change if you've been really, truly born again. Your desires of things will change. Your perception of things will change. Then you'll ask yourself, why do I do that? Now, how can I be more like Christ? So we become born again, birth of the image of the last Adam, the one that says, by his obedience, right? He changed and gave salvation. He changed. He gave all those things. So how can I be these things I am? Now, the other things is what we do. Why do I do? And I kind of just pulled one thing because God gave me 4 T's in this month. Why do I? Number one thing that really happens to us, and it happened to our parents, it happened all the way in the beginning, all the way through. This is a big T. It's called trauma. Trauma. Trauma happened in the fall. That was traumatic. Don't you think? Do you think that was traumatic? That you got fellowship with the one true God of the living, the greatest, the creator of all things, and then all of a sudden, it's cut off. And not only was it cut off, it says there was a cherubim put right in front of the gate of Eden with a flaming sword. There's no way that you're going to get through there and get back. gone. And there's a cherub sitting in front of it that you can't get through. So what happened? Did he make a way? He did make a way. But how about just for people who have no understanding whatsoever? No, you know, people who don't have any understanding whatsoever. And I was kind of hitting on that this morning. I was kind of going over some things. And we all, I don't know if we all know, but there was a big trial that just went down in South Carolina. You know, I don't want to throw him out, but I mean, it's already blowed up. And that's what I was kind of, I wasn't in on any of that stuff, you know. I've heard about it going on, but I know there's some people like glued to the court TV and going through all that stuff, you know. And I heard about it and everything because he was, you know, I'm a South Carolina boy. He went to University of South Carolina, his family, all that, they're big time, you know, stuff down there. And I was like, how? You know, why? Why did this thing? And it went back to his great-grandfather. You know, there was murder in their family. And I started watching now those on Netflix, the little things, documentary about their life and how things evolved. Man, it was a solicitor for, what was it, from, it was crazy, 60 years? Their family in the bloodline were solicitors. They held that seat, you know, in the law. And they run their town and all this stuff. But then all this, there was, what was it, 5 murders? That was like in that family, in the things. And so what I was looking at, I was like, look at this. I mean, you just see their emotions. And when things were like, when he got sentenced, I watched that. And it was like, there wasn't much going on there. It was dead. You know, it was cold. So I'm like, how? And, you know, and it hit me, and it was like they had none understanding whatsoever. They were so wrapped up in their stuff, and their families was so absorbed with the things of the world and what they thought they were supposed to do. There was, it seems like, come on, was there any evangelism ever came? Did Christ ever come knocking on their door? Did they denounce Christ? What's going on in this family? So, you know, here it is. Look, outside, everybody's like, my goodness, especially like the young one that got murdered, little Paul, he was in all kind of stuff going on. This boy wasn't even drinking age, and he's drinking and driving his boats up and down the river, going to the coast, coming by, stopping by bars, going off and drinking in there. It's like, how does this even I mean, come on. And it's like, yeah, okay, that's who they are. But it's like, there was no understanding in that family. So what I'm saying is, how do we even introduce Christ to people who have no desire to know him? No hunger, no thirst. The word says those who what? Hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. Well, what if we come against a generation or generations that have no desire, no hunger, no thirst for righteousness? It is a lot out there that way. I remember a time for me, and I'm coming to church this morning. This is all going in my head, too, and I pass a vehicle coming down 221 there, and I see his hand before he even gets down. He's got his hand on that steering wheel. I know what, you know, he's jamming, doing something. I pray it was the Lord, you know, he's worshiping the Lord, but I don't know. But what hit me was I remember the days on my Sunday mornings. Sunday fun day. Oh, we're going to go get, you know, we're going to do whatever I want to on Sunday. Sunday fun day. We used to go up, hit the Green River. Oh, yeah, boy, we float the Green River, especially when it starts getting warm, and go have fun. Yeah. A lot of things could have happened. But praise God, by the grace of the Lord, he spared me from a lot of those things that probably should have happened. just like what happened on that boat with little Paul. 2 o'clock in the morning, they run into a bridge on that boat, and a little girl gets flung out and gone. You know? So here's he's living with that from now, and his friends. It's just crazy. But praise God. You know, when we start finally getting a little light shone in our darkness, that we can start maybe wanting to see, why do I do these things? Why did I do this? So what happened to them is what happened to a lot of us is we go with the T's. That big word right there, trauma. And as I'm looking in this word trauma, it's really kind of cool how all this kind of broke down. And I just went into Webster's. Okay, old Webster. Remember that show, Webster? Anybody ever remember Webster? Old Emmanuel Lewis. That was good. That was good right there. I liked old Webster. He was big. Papa Lock. What was his name? Papa Lock. What?
Papadopoulos.
That's right. That's a Greek name, right? Papadopoulos. But anyway, that's old George. George Papadopoulos. Wasn't it George? Yeah. He was a football player. He really was in true life. What was his real name? Remember his, what is? Was that his real name? Yeah. It's good to have that. That was Dan that knows the man back there. Thank you, Dan. See, I like that interaction. That's what happens in the body, right? We need it. We need that interaction. So look what it says about trauma. Old Webster there. It's a lot here, but I'm just going to focus on some things. Let me get some of that out of there. I'm going to write it down. I should have it on up here, you know, but I'm telling you, I haven't got there yet. It's a lot to it. I just like to write it down. Get me a book. Look at what this right here. I might give me another pen if it's a little right darker. Oh, boy, look at that. All right, look here. A or an injury. Can y'all read that up from up there? I don't mind to write a little bigger. Look here. Such as. Do that. A wound. All right. But what to? This first part is kind of how it breaks it down. Look at this. An injury such as a wound to, I like this, a living tissue. How about that? We'll get back on that. Caused. I just thought, this right here just jumped off at me. So I'm going to, when it jumps off, I think that's what the Lord wants me to get on. Caused by, and look at here. This is a fancy little word. Extrinsic. Y'all know what that means? Look what it said right here. This is another good one. Woo-hoo. All right. I know y'all can't see over here, can you? Let me read it again. It's an injury such as a wound to a living tissue caused by an extrinsic agent. All right. Let's look at this right here. Living, what can we talk about living? Living tissue. There's a lot in that right there, just a living tissue. So, Ed brought up, what did you bring up a while ago? What did you say?
About body, soul, and spirit.
Yeah, see there? See how the Lord does? So a living tissue, what would that be? Yeah, because so let's just say a flesh or a body? Mm-hmm. Or could we even say our soul mm-hmm. is in there too? So, because what did the Lord say? He said he breathed into that vessel and made it what?
A living soul.
A living soul. So look at here. So we're going to have living tissue, which would be living tissue. Let's go ahead and just put it over here. And we're going to call that what? The body or flesh and soul. So it's an injury that comes from, look at here, this extrinsic, what does it mean? External. Outside. I miss writing on the chalkboard. And what about an agent? Could it be like, what was it? 409? A cleaning agent? Or a secret agent? An agent. All right? So we know what an agent is, right? It's something used. Something used. An agent is somebody on a what? A mission. So, do you see what that says right there? Trauma is something from an outside place used by what? An agent, a tactic of an agent, a person or a thing on a mission to do what? To cause a wound, hurt to a living soul. How many, I have to ask, and if you feel led, because listen, I'm going to tell you something about me. And I really got to catch myself sometimes. So I'm not too transparent. I'm transparent, especially when I start ministering, and because I believe it's not in my perfection and my holiness of God that you're going to get a hold of what He's done in my life. It's the wounds. It's my faults. It's my willingness to confess and move forward and know that, hey, I don't have this thing worked out. I'm a hot, sometimes cold mess. And I have to be transparent with that. I've had a lot of external wounds, trauma, come in my life as I've come in this world. Some that I have no recollection of. But I was walking and breathing. Some that I probably do have recollection of, but I've kind of put a wall there to block it, to keep it from interfering. But see, I didn't really even do that. Guess what did? Yeah, but that's what was working. But see, when that come in, my soul put up a divider, a defense mechanism. My will, my mind, my emotions. They say for your memory and the things that happen, it will be tied to an emotion so that you can retain it. So that keeps it significant in your life. Some of those are good, some of those are bad, depending on what it is. So to you, to your recollection, just listen, we're all in this thing. We're not one of us will escape this world without them. Amen. Death, there's another one. You're not going to get out of here alive. No, you're not. Period. Because you know why? Because you're going to have to die to self. Period. Nobody's getting out of here alive unless you have this encounter, unless you've been born again. Now you can come out of here alive. Well, Jesus, what'd he tell Martha, Martha? I am the resurrection and life. And I love it. He's just been hammering this thing, hammering this word, this passage, hammering it to me, because this is who he is. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the resurrection and the life for all people. One with no understanding, no desire. He's the resurrection life for them too. But for us who have got a taste, for us who have received him, he says what? I'm the resurrection life. Whoever believes in me, even though he dies, he will what? Okay. But if he believes in me, he will never die. It's already done. See, I'm coming up on my 13th birthday. First day of spring's coming. And that's the day I got how, pow, poo, bing. Wow. Lit up, buddy. So I died that day. I like to say, man, I literally died that day. You know? I come to my end. Boom. And then the power and the Spirit of God hit me. And I knew who he was, just like that. It changed my desires. It changed the way I breathed. Hallelujah. That right there is what I hold on to. No matter how far away that seems, that day when I really met Jesus Christ, not from a Sunday school. You know, I wish we could just do it all right here. You know what I mean? But no, this is something that you have to do. Every single one of us has to have that experience with God. We got to. Because it's about you and him. And him in you. Not him and you, him in you. Because that's what makes the kingdom come forth. That's what's going to give the people who have no understanding, no desire, that's what's going to give them that desire. That's what's going to give them that understanding by the way we move and have our being amongst them. How we overcome the trauma and the hurts, the wounds, the things that have come against us to try to keep us from meeting our destiny and becoming who we're supposed to be, like Christ. We got to be overcomers. Because he gave us the power to overcome. Did he not? All things been given unto me. The authority and the power. And I'm going to do what? He's going to give them to you. And it's our daddy's good pleasure to give you every single bit of it. Some of us might not have had a good daddy. You know, I love my daddy, but he wasn't good. He might have had some good moments. And he did. And I treasure and cherish those. But I also know there have been some bad moments in there too. I don't treasure those, but it doesn't evaporate them. You know, it doesn't take them completely away. There was wounds created there. And in those wounds, I see those same things that I despise coming out of me at times with my children. Oh, no. You know what I mean? No, I don't want to do that. I do not want to recreate that. That's not what I want to pass down. Whew. I don't. I want to pass down the good seed, the good characteristic, the good name that's been given unto all of us. You know, that's what that is. The name is the character. God gave us the character of His Son, of Him, of who He is. And He wants us to be raised up in that. Golly, y'all getting up off early. Time flies when you're having fun. All right. Excuse me. Yeah. Yeah, it's about like what Pastor Terry tells us. If we're gonna concentrate on not sinning, guess what we're gonna end up doing? You know? So what is that, where does that take us? It's the repentance, right?
On the knees.
Change the way you think. This isn't how we go about things. And the other thing that's been coming up a lot is the back side of Matthew 25, where the Lord says on the day we're going to separate the goats and the sheep. And He's going to look at the goats and say, hey, I was naked, you didn't clothe me. I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was in prison, you didn't come see me. You didn't do this, didn't do that. So, we didn't even see you. Well, He went to the sheep. Same thing. He said, but you did this. And they're like, well, when did we do this? They had no understanding about what happened to them or through them. And here's my revelation. It's because their thought, their mind, their will, their soul, everything was consumed in who Christ Jesus was or is. They would just want to worship and praise Him. And through that worship and through that praise, the kingdom has opened up and has been moving in you and around you. And all you are just consumed by that fire. And all that just takes place so that you don't have the glory. You don't have that will to say, hey, look what we're doing. No, man, because as soon as you do that, you've already quenched the spirit. Sort of like what's going on at Asbury, you know what I mean? Don't bring all this stuff. We don't want the cameras. We don't want the big time people. We don't want any of that because why? Why are they being so protective of what they're doing up there? Not because they want to keep it in seclusion. Because they don't want to let anything in that's going to quench the Spirit of God. Man, this is not man-made stuff. It's God-made. The trauma that comes in our lives, guess what? There's an agent. It's a man. It's a man that has no understanding that's being used most of the time. That comes and inflicts a wound or a hurt. It's the enemy. All right? Moving like a what? Like a prowling lion, right? Looking to who he can what? Devour. So there's the trauma and the things that come in our life. So just think back of some of the trauma and the things that's happened in your life.
I know I've spoken, but just a real quick example of what healing rooms can do. My brother, who was sober for a while, you know, went through, you know, blah, 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 blah. I know he was drunk. I could tell he was drunk. He was slurring. Okay, so he calls me from Florida, and it's the same thing over and over. He has not dealt with these regrets, the death of his son, whatever. My dad, I mean, it's all there, and I had to try to be patient with him because, like, I'm free. Praise God. I mean, I've dealt with those things. It's opened me up, but he's just stuck. It's that he's stuck, and he needs that beautiful thing to happen. He's saved, but he's walking in this, and I have to be real patient with him because I've been through, and it's a beautiful thing. I mean, and you find loving people who will listen to your
There is freedom. There is hope. There is this thing called Christ. And, you know, there's another agent at work here. And I'm telling you right now, that blood is the best cleaning substance you ever going to ever come across. And not only is it not a cleaning agent, it's a protective too, coating. Because I'm telling you, there's nothing that it cannot penetrate. Man, there's nothing that can penetrate it. Once it's on you, it's on you. It's the seal. Right? So look what it says. I don't know if you see that red kind of blears out. The trauma. I like to go into some of the things, you know, that in my life I'll be transparent about and things and to go. But one that's kind of hitting me right now, we'll go quickly, is that, look, this wedding band right here. This wedding band, it's just crazy. This wedding band belonged to my great, great, great uncle. I never knew him. But I did know my great, great, great aunt. She didn't even get her driver's license until she was 78 years old. She was a ball of fire. She lived in New York City. New York City. Yeah. And so she didn't need her driver's license. Now her husband, he was an Irish guy. And he was kind of a mobster. And they had whatever, did whatever. But he died. And I don't know where he's at right now. But I know Aunt Abby, she moved back down to home when all that went down. And that's when she got her driver's license. Went and bought her, I knew it was a 78, brand new Ford Granada. She went and bought her a brand new car. And she had a little trailer in a little trailer park, retiree park back then. And she used to come stay with us because I was a sick little boy. And I lived in an oxygen tent for a little while, about 6 months. I was a little bubble boy. And I was allergic to everything. I couldn't breathe, pneumonia 6 times in 1 year. I mean, it was trying to choke the breath of life out of me. You know why? I think about that, you know? It's because the calling on my life. It's trying to choke me out and choke the life out of him before I even got started. But God and what he is and what his plans are, they will not be interrupted. What he has planned will come. I have a plan and for a future, for prosperous, okay? If you seek me, not if, but when you seek me, you're going to find me. All these things are going to start coming to fruition. We're about to got to go. I never knew this situation happened to me. But Aunt Abby, I always wondered why my dad hated her. I mean, this woman used to come stay with us, take care of us. She was in her 80s and stuff then, you know, getting on up. She bought me my first football cleats. She was in her 80s, and I'm telling you, we took over my great-grandpa's house when my grandma was lived in and all come up. My dad bought it, and we moved into that out of a trailer. We moved into that house. Well, Aunt Abby bought us a living room suit. We never had any. I mean, brand new. Heilig Myers. I don't know if y'all ever been to old Heilig Myers, Heilig Myers, whatever. That truck come pulling up. I said, who is this? Never seen anything fancy. He pulled up, had a living room suit and a dining room suit. Pulled in there, I said, man, Aunt Abby, she dipped snuff. Old Rose, whatever it was. It was Rose, something Rose. She'd take a spoon and put that stuff in there. But she'd go outside and I'd kick that football and she'd run with me. And she loved me. She loved me. And I never knew why my daddy didn't like her. And she'd want to take me home. You ain't taking him. You take him, you take all of them. Ain't nothing going on. Ain't no separation. Okay. Well, as I got older in my teenage years, I went back to see Aunt Abby. She was still going. And she told me. She told me a story. She says, well, your daddy was drinking. And he had all his buddies outside. and you come out wanting to do something, and he went to whipping you, and he wouldn't stop. And I jumped in front of him, and he was whipping me, and I started whipping back on him. Well, my daddy got locked up that day. And my grandpa had to go get him out. And I had no, I don't have any recollection of that whatsoever. But there's something down deep in my soul does. And it's come out now when the light comes. It says the spirit of a man is a candle unto the Lord that will search the most inner parts of his soul or his belly, his heart. But those are things that happen that we might know and we might not know of. But there's things that do what? It moves in you to make you say, why do I do this? Not that I've beat my kids. But I tell you what, there was a rage that come up into me that made me want to. That you have to say, whoa, no. You see? So why do I do those, Lord? Why do I have that feeling? Why do those emotions come over me to somebody so beautiful, somebody so precious? So it's a gift that you gave me. I don't want to do that to my kids. I don't want to pass that on. So here's the truth before we close. How do you handle trauma? You got to cover it in the truth. You got to cover it in the truth. And one truth that I'm going to release right quick before we close is Mark 7, 14 and 16. Now listen to what it says. It says, when he had called all the people to him, he said, listen to me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from outside a man that by entering him can defile him. But the things which come out of the man are what defile him. Those with ears, let them hear. I don't know. Listen, we got to go. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your precious love, the willingness to lay your life down for us so that we can have life, to become sin so that we may become the righteousness of God. Lord, I don't know the trauma. I don't know the things that have entered any person in here, but you do know. And Lord God, I do know that by your love and by your precious blood, those things can be outcast and dealt with, and it will not come out and defile any of us anymore, Lord. That your truth of who you are and who you are in us can overcome those things and heal our wounds, Lord, and our hurts. And that we can become the children of honor and glory to change a broken and a dark world. Lord, we ask for your peace and your strength to continue to move upon this people, your people. And we thank you, and may your glory continue to move in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll see you next week.